A couple of weeks ago, I sang the national anthem at a pep rally, and when they announced that I was going to do it, there was an audible gasp in the stands, and I thought that they knew that I was a singer, because I've done it before, and they hear me sing at Mass, although I guess it's just regular plain chant that you hear me sing. So after the performance, a guy came up to me and said, "Father, I think you missed your vocation." Which I think he was trying to give me a compliment, but I think I made my vocation. I think God wants me to be a priest, and why not put the two together and be a singing priest? Use the gifts that God has given to us. This is Vocation Awareness Week, and we can say that the basis of every vocation, no matter what it is love and charity, and that's what our Bible readings are about today. Today would be the feast of St. Martin de Porres, and the saints are icons of God, icons of love. And St. Martin de Porres indeed was called Martin the Charitable. You can put the word love for charity, or the Apostle of Charity. In 1962, when Pope St. John the 23rd canonized him, he said, "The example of Martin's life is ample evidence that we can strive for holiness and salvation as Christ taught us through love of God and love of neighbor." And St. Martin was from Lima, Peru. His mother was an African Panamanian woman and his father was Spanish. And he entered the Dominicans as a third order brother with them. He was a cross between St. Francis of Assisi and St. Padre Pio. He bilocated and all this kind of stuff. He was a healer by the grace and the power of God. And he also had a relationship with the animal kingdom. One time the mice were eating the altar cloths and the friar's robes, and so one of the brothers was going to exterminate them somehow, and St. Martin got a hold of it, and so he went over to one of the mice and he said, "Hey, they're going to exterminate y'all, so you go out to the barn, get all your friends, go out to the barn, and I'll feed y'all there. Don't stay here in the fryer anymore." And before long, there was a line of mice heading out to the barn, and that's exactly what he did. Or, for an even better example, one time he took a sick man and let the sick man stay in his own bed, and he slept on the floor, and the man dirtied up the sheets, and so one of the friars said that he shouldn't have done that. And Martin said, "Compassion or love, my dear brother, is preferable to cleanliness. Reflect that with a little soap, I can easily clean my bed covers. But even with a torrent of tears, I would never wash from my soul the stain that my harshness toward the unfortunate would create." What a good teaching, huh? The true love of neighbor. And so we heard from our first reading today, Deuteronomy chapter 6, which was Moses trying to summarize the whole teaching of Almighty God for the people. And so he said, "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. There are no other gods. Indeed, worship him alone." And we can say that's the real summary. It's called the Shema, for the Hebrew word for hear. It is the summary of the Jewish faith. And so they put it in their little mezuzahs on their doorposts. It's written on there. And also the Orthodox have it in those little black boxes called a phylactery on their wrist and on their foreheads as well. And so what do we have as the summary of our faith? I would say it is what Jesus gave us today in the two golden commandments. Love the Lord your God, quoting Deuteronomy like Moses said. But he added Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the uniqueness is putting those two together. If you read the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law, you'll find 613 rules or commandments. And the disciples, the rabbis, always ask them, what is the most important of all of these, so many? And so here the scribe is asking Jesus that, and he puts those two together. And we can say that they truly summarize that the cross summarizes those two commandments. I've told you before, the vertical beam of the cross points us to God, our relationship with God. The horizontal beam, our relationship with our neighbor. And where does it intersect? But right there at the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He is true love incarnate, and he has come to show us the way to the Father. Remember, it says in the letter of John that you cannot love the God you do not see if you do not love the person that you do see. And we're not talking about love as some kind of a pansy kind of a thing, but a sacrificial love, the love of the cross. That is the love that Jesus came to show us. And there's always been a theme of wanting to console the heart of Jesus that has longed for our love in return. And Mother Teresa of Calcutta had in all of her chapels placed those words next to the crucifix, "I thirst," because Jesus from the cross was thirsting for our love in response to his love. Indeed, it was 350 years ago that Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in our mosaic here and revealed his Sacred Heart to her. And he said, "Look how much my heart has loved humanity so much and has been loved so little in return." It makes us think, are we truly loving the Lord? Are we giving him 100% of that return of love? Pope Francis just wrote an encyclical entitled Dilexit Nos, which means he loved us, from Romans chapter 8, verse 37, saying nothing can separate us from the love of God. The only thing that can separate us is ourselves, is our choices to go against him. And he said, we need this Sacred Heart devotion to avoid forgetting the tender consolations of faith, the joy of serving others, and the fervor of being of a personal commitment to mission. And he said, so many people are unfulfilled in life because they're focused on material things and individualism, and it fragments our hearts. So he said, we need to refocus on the heart, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and put our hearts in his heart. He said, the Sacred Heart is the unifying principle of all reality. It is the synthesis of the whole gospel. And so one of the archbishops said, this really is the key to Pope Francis's papacy, pointing to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And all of his actions, all of his words, he was proving this, especially upon the cross. That was the most eloquent word and action that he did and spoke for us. And finally, the last chapter talks about scripture passages, especially Zechariah, that the one whom they have pierced, they will look upon, which was fulfilled when they pierced the side of Christ all the way to his Sacred Heart, pulled it out, and blood and water came flowing out. The sacramental life of the church, water for baptism, blood and the flesh of our Lord for the Holy Eucharist. All the sacraments come from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Look how much he loves you and me. And look how much he loves you that he would call me to be a priest in little old Lafayette. Who would have known that I would be here in Ville Platte today? As wonderful as y'all are, as great as y'all are, you think I would give up a wife and children for people I didn't even know? No. But I would do it for God, because he called me. And he calls you in your marriage vocation, in your single in the world vocation, whatever vocation that you have in life, you're a deacon here today. All of these vocations that the Lord has called, it's all about the maximum of love. And he said, Pope Francis said, love is only returned and satisfied by love in response. So that is our duty. That is our work. That is our mission in life. And the Sacred Heart is with us to go out into the world and preach this gospel summarized in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen.